Warning, the podcast you are about to listen to may have adult language and discuss adult themes not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.
And if you don't know, you should know. It's the Far End of the Bench podcast. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Episode 154 of the show. We're right in the middle of the NFL season. We're right in the middle of college football season. NBA media day has happened.
Some people can't keep shit out of their mouth. Pause on that. Taylor Swift is still dominating the NFL ratings. Welcome.
The Swansea jersey that made its appearance. That was, I feel like it's a little too soon, but I guess we'll have to get into it. Thank you very much. Be sure to follow at FUOTV Pod, which you can see if you're watching on our YouTube channel. And if you're watching on that YouTube channel, subscribe, like the video, leave a comment, let us know what you think. When we get to the pick 'em segment, you guys can make your picks in the comments. Maybe we'll start looking in the comments. That'll be a way to entice people. Looking in the comments, we got plenty of merch that we could just start giving away for best record if you're going to drop your picks before Sunday. So be sure to check out the YouTube videos. Start dropping those. Nico, we got a lot to get into, and we're starting off with basketball, of all things. In the middle of football season, I look out my window.
Put the ticker back up one more time. Yeah. Just make sure the ticker comes across for those that watch us on YouTube, because let me just remind everyone who the world NBA champions are, and it's the Denver Nuggets. All right, continue, Jimmy. Go ahead.
Oh, I just think that it's odd that I look out my window, I see the leaves are changing. It's total football season. Yeah, we're going to start off this show talking about basketball. Basketball?
Jimmy, I needed basketball in my life. I needed it so badly.
What are you talking about? You guys got to win.
And I don't want to win. We will get to that later on. But the media day just brought so much joy back to my life. Just a smile back to my face. Seeing the Joker, seeing Jamal chop it up, seeing Michael Porter Jr.'s new arm sleeve tattoo, which has a picture of him, baby Michael Porter Jr., hugging Jesus sitting down. Yes, that's a real tattoo on his arm. It is one of the top 10 worst tattoo in the league right now. No doubt about it. But seeing the boys,
it goes on your body forever, kids. The kids exactly. In my class that are listening, your tattoos are there for life. Nico and I love our tattoos.
It's bad. If you don't know, if you have not seen it, go look it up. It's bad, okay? But that's besides the point. The dude's an NBA champion. I don't give a damn what the hell he does with his body, as long as it's obviously within reason. But look, the Nuggets are back rolling. And look, teams are trying to beat us, Jimmy, because they know how good we are. The best starting five in basketball has returned. The best player in basketball is back. The best two game in basketball is back. And look, Jimmy, throw a damn parade. We don't have to see Damian Lillard in the playoffs again until the finals. Holy shit. I am thrilled. I am thrilled right now. You know how many – look, it was 3 years in a row that I sat there and watched Damian Lillard torch my fucking team. Luckily, we beat him twice, but it was not fun. I did not have a good time, okay? It was not fun watching Dame do this to me every other possession down the court where I was praying Austin Rivers to just put a hand up in his face, okay? He's gone. He's in Milwaukee, and – DeAndre Ayton's gone from the Suns? Oh, baby. Oh, the NBA media doesn't – look, the NBA offseason doesn't do it – does it like no one else. The NFL doesn't do it like this. The NHL, the MLB, it doesn't matter. The NBA offseason will always be king, because right in the middle of Taylor Swift saga, Damian Lillard decided, it's my turn. It's my turn to bring the media days back. It's time to get some lights shine on me.
I found a picture of the tattoo, so I'm doing my best to get that on the screen for the viewers, because we do have to talk about this. The NBA is built for the offseason. It's what we expect. The NHL, as much as they bag on the NBA, they wish they had the offseason that the NBA has, because that's where you get all of this attention driven. It's the world's game. It's the second biggest professional sport in America, which makes you the second biggest professional league in the world.
I would say it's the second biggest sport in the world behind soccer because of how global it is. The NFL is global, but it does not have the global athletes that the NBA has or basketball has in general. But yeah, it never misses. It never misses. It's like I said, it brought such a joy to turn on NBA TV while I'm just relaxing at home and see the ticker go by. Oh yeah, it's bad. I know it's bad, Jimmy. Yeah, that I told you. What are we doing? I told you it's not great. Look, some people have too much time in their off season. Some people have too much time on their off season. Is all I'm gonna say. And really, we had a shortened off season. So that's what Michael. That's what Michael Porter Jr. was up to. But look, the boys were back up to their normal-ish. Jokic touched the basketball for the first time in 2.5 months, it looked like. The man's still the best player in the world. And look, like I said, we can talk about this Damian Lillard trade because it's interesting, right? Like Damian Lillard going to the Bucks. Bucks ship off Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday ends up in Boston, which I think is a great fit for him. He's probably going to be a much bigger step up, honestly, than Marcus Smart was for them. And then Damian Lillard in the Bucks, like it's going to be the second best two-man game in basketball, right? Right behind Jokic and Jamal, because no one can spread the floor like Damian Lillard all the way up to the half-court line, and no one drives the bucket like Giannis Antetokounmpo. So it's going to be a very dangerous threat. I'm just glad I don't have to see them in the playoffs. We only face them twice a year unless we both get to the finals, which is obviously remains to be seen. But it's a big move. It's a big move. And look, thank God I'm happy for Portland. Portland, instead of just saying, fuck it, send him to Miami and take Tyler Hero, they got DeAndre Ayton. They got Robert Williams. They got Malcolm Brogdon. They got and draft picks. They got a haul. They got a haul back. They got a haul back for this deal. And I'm so glad that they just didn't just say buy in and just give Dame the heat and do the wishes. Dame seems very happy in Milwaukee, okay? When you're playing with Giannis, I think you'll be very happy. And the way the Blazers did it for themselves – it's huge, absolutely huge. It sets themselves up perfectly. As for the Suns, Nurkic, oh man, oh baby, I cannot wait. Suns fans are jumping out of their seat, Jimmy, thinking Nurkic is going to be their savior. Their savior, Jimmy, their savior. I remember on this show talking about, who's going to throw out Cantor, Nurkic? Which one's going to foul out first? I remember talking about that on this show. Like, all right, who wants it next? Who wants to take the ass whooping next?
I think it was about 140 episodes ago. But, yeah, we did definitely talk about, who's going to get this work from Joker in this series. Because Portland
– and now the Suns said, fuck it, let's we want some of that.
Oh, give me that. I need that. Give me that in my life.
It's interesting. It's very interesting. Look, they got deeper. They got better. Ayton wanted out, obviously. Grayson Allen, who knows what he'll look like. He's a decent guard off the bench for them now. And look, all I'm gonna say is if you think Nurkic is the problem solver for the Joker problem, you got nothing coming. Okay, is all I'm gonna say. Ayton was a terrible defensive liability against Jokic, but your Nurkic's offensive game is nowhere near what you're gonna get from DeAndre Ayton. So we'll see if the trade-off works for them. Obviously, adding Bradley Beal helps, but I'm not worried. I'm still not worried. The world champs are still the best team in the world, still in training camp with the Larry O'Brien trophy right next to them. And then there's a certain fan base that just doesn't know how to shut the fuck up, right, Jimmy? Huh? They just don't. They just don't know.
Before we get to that, I want to say this is exactly what Portland needed to do. Because when you're a city that doesn't really get the big free agents, you have to be able to build through the draft and getting stuff back for the people that you were able to find, develop. You got as much of out of Dame as what you're going to get. Yeah. Like a second round playoff run is probably the limit.
They got to the Western Conference Finals. They did, and ultimately losing to, I believe, it was Golden State. But it was a good run for them, and they did have some good moments. But like I said, it was time. And like I said, I compare this to the Melo trade. Right, everyone knows when Melo was here in Denver, and he asked for the trade. He wanted to go to New York. Like he and New Jersey was his number one. People forget New Jersey, which turned into Brooklyn, was his number one team. And the haul we were going to get back did not work. The Nuggets were patient. Yes, it sucked, but they're patient. And then they saw, okay, we can get all these draft picks. We can get these players. We can get this from the Knicks alone. And they jumped right on it, and it worked out beautifully. And that's exactly what the Blazers did. Like I said, look, is this team going to win now? Probably not. But you now set up Scoot Henderson, Anthony Simons, Jeremy Grant, DeAndre Ayton. That's a very, very good young core to build around and see what you got out of those guys. So, like I said, Blazers fans have to be happy. Yeah, you lost your centerpiece, but look, you didn't get stuck with Tyler Hero. Like, come on. Like, that as your best player in return. like, come on now, okay? You won. Like, you did. Yeah, you did. You lost Dame, but you won the deal of trades.
Yeah, no, you got something out of it. So as long as you don't totally lose everything and give up the farm for something that isn't going to work out or isn't going to be there for at least a set amount of time, I think you got to just be chill. You got to be okay with that, because that is as much as you'd like to win, and that's Portland's only professional. I think that and an MLS team are the only two professional teams that are in the city of Portland. So it's not like they wouldn't love to see the Trailblazers get a championship, but you have to be realistic, and you don't have the money that these other franchises have to throw around. So unless you get some guy that is diehard, dead set on getting the Portland Trailblazers an NBA championship, and he convinces some other guys to come here, you're probably only looking at as much as you can do from the draft. And you're a very good draft. You're the best G League team out there, Portland. You're an awesome – it's disrespectful to say, but that is – you're an awesome G League team.
They're going to be a young, very young team, but they'll be exciting to watch because you don't know what Chauncey is going to do with that lineup. Like I said, there's lots of possibilities. You don't know what Scoot's going to look like. You don't know what Dominating, as he's calling himself, is going to look like. This Portland Trailblazers has a lot of opportunities for growth, and like I said, it was time to move on, and you waited for the best trade possible, and it worked out perfectly for you.
All right, Nico, I've held you off long enough. I wish we could have got Terrell to jump on real quick. I don't know if he could have. We were already running late, and I had my weird schedule because of flag football. Well, we'll talk about the other thing because I want to get into hairstyles. So as you're going on this tirade, I'll find something else that we're going to throw up on the screen here. What did the Lakers do, Nico? What did the Lakers do now?
Oh, Jimmy, they just didn't win a game in the Western Conference Finals, but apparently it was a moral victory. They threw a parade, Jimmy. They got to the Western Conference Finals, ladies and gentlemen. And look, it's funny because, like I said, outside of Michael Malone saying one thing on the Pat McAfee show where he came out and said, well, hey, breaking news, I'm retiring, jokingly, after the because that's exactly what LeBron did. That's the only thing he said. Only thing he said, people forget that Lakers daddy comment was not by anyone that runs the team or plays for the team or coaches the team. It was by a media broadcaster for Altitude Sports Radio, Vic Lombardi, who was a Denver fucking legend, who grew up in this city, hates the Lakers just as much as the next guy, okay? And they said, oh, we heard all that crap coming at us. What crap? What crap are you – look, Mike Malone had a great quote Wednesday morning as we're recording this. He said, and I quote, if the Lakers are so hung up about things 4 months ago, that's their own problem. We got things to look forward to. We're building toward the future. If they want bulletin board material for fucking ring night, then so be it. we'll raise that banner. We'll get our rings and we'll wear that shit with pride. It's really funny, Jimmy. It really is so funny because it's so much shit talking for a team that didn't win a game. Like not even gentlemen's.
It was the best performance that ESPN could try and muster up in a sweep. So I want to remind you of that. Your Nuggets may be world champions, Nico, but according to the national media and Kendrick Perkins, Stephen A. Smith, guys that I am familiar with, guys that I have talked to, I know on a personal level, they had the greatest performance while getting swept in the Western Conference Finals of any Lakers team in history. You cannot argue that.
Oh, 100%, Jimmy. Absolutely. Greatest. Because we got to protect legacies. That's what we got to do. Because of how bad of an ass whooping you got. Like I said, look, the Denver Nuggets forgot about the Lakers the second that clock hit zero. Let's not forget, okay? The Lakers were gone. They were done, out of our mind. We were on to the next team. We were on to the Miami Heat and on to winning a championship. Lakers, it's been sizzling in their brain, in their mind about Jokic hitting that fadeaway off 1 foot three over Anthony Davis's chin. They've been simmering over Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray, blocking LeBron's attempt at a game winner in game four to extend the series by one game. They're just enthralled by the ass kicking they got, Jimmy. And like I said, it's one thing. Like, look, the Lakers fans and the Lakers team in general has been saying this. Oh, the Nuggets can't stop thinking about the Lakers. Can't stop thinking about the Lakers. Who can't get the other team out of their head now? Right? Oh, it's funny now. All I've seen on media day, Nuggets this, Nuggets that. Oh, how the tides have turned. It's so funny now about not being able to keep a team out of your mouth when that's all your team wants to talk about. All I'm going to say is I'm going to be there ring night. I'm going to be there banner night. And I'm going to enjoy every fucking second of your sorry ass franchise being in the back watching us raise that banner. And I'm going to enjoy it like no other. Because, look, if I'm being honest with you, that was the easiest series we had, Jimmy. In my rankings of how of biggest scares in the playoffs all season long, all postseason long, it goes Phoenix Suns number one. That series still gives me damn nightmares, game three and four, especially being there for game four. That's number one, top of the series. Number two, I go Miami because the winning a championship is very difficult. I put Minnesota three because Minnesota is a very, very talented team in my opinion. And honestly, they scare me more than the Lakers do this year. They still do. I don't care. Come fight me on this. The Minnesota Timberwolves will be a damn good team. And then and then 50 feet of crap. And then we have the Lakers, and that's the hierarchy of how difficult each series was. So look, they can talk all they want. Your fan base and your team, just make sure that island that Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. and your old former teammate KCP have in your head. Make sure that island stays open because there's more room on that island this year is all I'm gonna say. Because there's one banner and more is coming. There's more coming.
Are you sure that's the only thing you heard about Media Day? The only thing that you saw being discussed? I know it might have been the only thing on your radar, but.
Because tonight won't be the night that I will fall for you over again.
God, why does
the man is going through it. I know the man's Jimmy Butler. For those who are audio listeners, I apologize. But yeah, the Jimmy Butler's picture email phase is on the screen right now. And yeah,
you need to search this for yourself as you're listening to the show. Look up. The videos, look up the hairstyle. Just
the man's going through it. The man thought he had Dame in the palm of his hand. He lost the NBA Finals, had Damian Lillard, and then none of it happened. And then just the emo phase came out.
I don't like it. I don't know what it is, but I don't like it. NBA. That is a good thing about football in the NFL is that the players wear helmets. So you never get this kind of stupid shit with your hair. Like Dennis Rodman, he doesn't happen in the NFL. He's done, over, gone. You don't put up with that in the NFL. You don't put up with the millions of hair dyes and hairstyles and the dating Madonnas and the motorcycle trips to Las Vegas while we're in the middle of a playoff run, Dennis. I don't know if you've noticed, but we're kind of a big deal here. He's like, yeah, no, I just got to go gamble it out. I don't know what to tell you guys.
Gotta go party with Carmen Electra and bang it out is all I'm gonna say. Pause on that. Sorry, Jimmy.
I'm gonna be in this movie called The Double Team with Jean-Claude Van Damme. We're gonna fight I'm gonna fight a tiger.
And then I'm gonna go to wrestling and then join the NWO. And then we're gonna call it good.
And then I'm gonna play a round of golf with Kim Jong-un. Yeah. Leader of the most communist dictatorship of all time.
The stories write themselves.
The NBA, like I said, didn't come up with a single word of that. But that's story, all factual.
We wish it was non-factual, but that's the NBA for you. And the offseason, like I said, the offseason, the regular season, it just hits different. It just doesn't miss. It never misses.
Speaking of really good drama, let's get back to the more sports talk, and we're switching over to talk football. It is that it's the important time of the year, especially. So last week we had to have the discussion because Oregon made a statement. Oregon wanted to make a statement, and I don't know how you felt, but I was nervous strictly for the fact because we would go from Colorado being the center of the college football universe to two back-to-back embarrassing 40-point losses. So, like, not only was the first 3 weeks of the season magical fairy dust, you're really not that close. Maybe Deion does need to do a lot more recruiting if you come out and you get beat by 80 points in two consecutive weeks. Luckily, USC, I said it last week. I think Oregon beats them by two touchdowns. I stand behind that statement because USC cannot and will not finish. Their defense, it's better, but they totally let CU back in the second half. And I don't know what they did, what CU changed on defense, because honestly, I was listening to the second half. We were trying to get ready for the little guys that I was coaching, so I wasn't watching the game specifically. But with what I saw in the first half, the way that second half went, hey, Deion had to sell his shit at halftime. Like, you have to – I'm wondering. I wish I could be just a fly in the wall for whatever he said at that moment, because it had to be the greatest speech of all time, because that performance in the second half, like we've seen pretty consistently with the CU Buffaloes team, that was the performance that gives you hope for next year.
Oh, it absolutely does. And like I said, the USC team, I think they're a little overrated, right? Kel Williams is all that in a box of cookies. So there's zero doubt about that.
I heard Joel Klatt this week say best college football player he's covered at that position.
That's high praise. That's very.
And he
very
said that
praise.
Pretty consistently over the last 2 years. He said it last year before he won the Heisman, and he is legit probably the front runner, and he's probably going to win it again unless they have a freak out moment at the end of the season like USC did last year, or the voters just like don't want to give it to the same guy back to back. But also, why wouldn't you? Because it's USC, it's a storied program. And you get the second ever two-time Heisman Trophy winner, a quarterback from University of Southern California. That's a pretty decent script for the NCAA.
That is a decent script. The only people I think that would ruin that party is Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix. Obviously, look, if USC loses to Washington and loses to Oregon, Michael Penix Jr. especially, I think could very well win it because he's playing that well. It's crazy that the top three Heisman candidates are all from the Pac-12, which is dying next year. Again, I'll say that every single week. It's hilarious.
It's the most competitive conference in football right now.
Oh, it's not even close. Not even close. And right, like you said, with this USC team. And what we saw some CU, we saw CU fight really well. Obviously, without Travis Hunter, that hurts them. But like I said, that game was more of a indictment of what we saw from Colorado in general than from USC.
It's next weekend. Saturday. So Washington has a bye this week. Next weekend, they host Oregon. So that's going to be a huge test. So Oregon, you went out and made a statement against CU. That's cool. You better be ready for a dogfight because these Huskies are coming, and Michael Penix Jr. has been in college football just as long as your college quarterback has. So that's like experience on experience. But Washington may throw the ball better than Oregon. Washington may throw the ball better than anybody else in the country. That's what they do. And I think Oregon State don't get the credit that they deserve, because they're not really the high-profile name brands in the conference. Let's not forget, Washington was in the college football playoff, ran into probably one of the best Bama teams Saban's ever had.
Yeah,
so
probably arguably the best. Like,
congratulations for getting there, but everybody knew that wasn't happening. This year, it's legit. This Pac-12, I was one of the people saying I'm not sad the Pac-12 is dying. I didn't expect it to be this good. I didn't expect it to be the reason for college football, because guess what? CU, I don't know if they pulled another nine, but I was listening to the CU broadcast on the radio. Like, do you think McNoon kickoff's probably coming back? Don't you think they love the Buffaloes? Because every time that they're here, there's a big comeback in the second half. We got about 10 million people watching, listening, viewing in some fashion.
The only reason why that wouldn't happen is the schedule is a lot easier, quote unquote. It's not the marquee of Oregon. It's not the marquee of USC. That's the only reason why. But like I said, people, look, you cannot sit here and tell me that the Pac-12 has not been the most entertainment from college football you've seen all season. Like the Big Ten has given you some duds. The SEC has given you some duds and had a couple good games here and there. But every single week, I'm seeing fireworks on the West Coast. I am seeing fireworks, absolute fireworks every week from his top teams in the country on the West Coast.
Dare I say, Nico?
They're hitting.
Dare I say, Conference of Champions.
We don't know how many times we can use that still. But yes, Jimmy.
I better use it because I never used it because you're the college basketball guy. It worked for the college basketball because they were, I think, the last eight teams. I think they had three or four. It's such a shame that we don't get the expanded playoff this year because the Pac-12 would have the best shot to have a national champion. Because the Pac-12 is so much more competitive than the SEC, than the Big Ten is right now. The Big Ten East has a little bit to say because you got Penn State, you got Ohio State, you got Michigan. But you don't have Washington, Oregon State, Washington State. Those are just the same schools in the same area. Utah is tough to beat at home.
And look, we're not sitting here and saying that those teams are better than Michigan, better than Ohio State.
No, Michigan was fucking impressive this weekend.
We're saying that these teams are very, very impressive and very, very talented across the board. That is a shame that they're being overlooked. We are by no means sitting here and saying that these teams can still hold a jock to Michigan on the best day, hold and do all these things. Obviously, TCU was we saw what happened when they faced a big time school in the national championship last year with the biggest blow in national championship history. We cannot stress this enough, but what the Pac-12 is doing, it has to be talked about. It really does. And like I said, having CU be one of the biggest stories in college football, it's great. It is great for college football, Jimmy. I cannot say that enough. It is fantastic what Deion is doing, what USC is doing, what the Pac-12 is doing in general, because like I said, mostly myself and a lot of other people have been sick and tired of fucking seeing Bama and seeing Georgia beat, like I said, the children of the poor every week until the last week of the year where it's a rivalry game. Well, Auburn already has nothing to play for, so Alabama just beats them by 40, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it has been. College football has been the last 5 years. And you can argue up a wall with me, but TCU last year changed things. It absolutely did. It gave people hope, gave people a chance to be like, you know what, there's good football across the country. And it's opened up CU for the media. It's opened up USC, UCLA, Washington State, Michael Penix Jr., Oregon. Like, it's opened things up massively. And like I said, I'm here for it. Because like I said, seeing non-Alabama across my timeline on College Football Saturday, not having to see a Georgia highlight until the final score, not having to see Ohio State, Michigan beat up on terrible teams every week, and said, let me go check out Oregon versus Colorado. Let me go check out U.S. Caleb Williams versus Shedeur Sanders. Let me go check out these marquee games. And against good teams, again, fighting up against one another that have something to play for. And it, like I said, it's great for the game, and I'm very excited to see how the rest of the season ends up for the Pac-12. Because like I said, I hope that we see a Pac-12 team in the national title. Whether they win or not, we'll see, but I hope to see it.
Looking at it right off the bat, this weekend has very good games at the top of the board, starting with Oklahoma-Texas. The Red River rivalry is this weekend. Last year, Texas beat Oklahoma 48-6, I believe. It was a total blowout, and Texas is look for real. They're built the right way. It's not a flash in the pan. Quinn Ewers is playing his ass off right now. Texas Oklahoma is going to be a dogfight. It's not going to be a blowout like it was last year. This Maryland Ohio State game isn't getting the love that it deserves.
Risky.
Right now, the Terrapins, they've done this before. They almost upset Dwayne Haskins in Maryland, unfortunately, this one's being played in Ohio State. 20 points is disrespectful. I don't think Ohio State is going to beat Maryland by 20 this weekend. I think Talia Tagovailoa is going to – they can throw the ball now. They can sling it just as well as anybody. Ohio State's in some trouble this weekend. They're going to be in for a dogfight. Washington, UCLA. UCLA is quietly 3-1, not ranked currently. And Washington State, they've had some really impressive wins so far this season, including Oregon State. And then Syracuse, I know that they lost last week to Clemson. They're going to North Carolina. North Carolina is 14th in the country, 4-0, and Syracuse is going to have to go in and try – pull the upset. Kentucky coming off of dismantling of Florida, going to Georgia. There's a ton of games this week. This weekend has depth.
I'm sorry, is college basketball back? I didn't realize Syracuse North Carolina was a marquee matchup.
It is this year. That's the crazy thing. That's like
I realized it was 2-3 defense versus the heritage of North Carolina offense. Man, I guess football is back in those two universities.
They're going to be – they don't hear a ball dribble. They have no idea what they're doing. Speaking of basketball schools, Kentucky, they kicked the shit out of Florida last weekend.
Dude, Florida, that was a dismantling. Kentucky may – look, I don't know if they're going to win the SEC, obviously, but, like, they could be
– I don't think they win this much trouble. They're 15-point dogs on the road, but I do see them being better. Georgia's not the same team that they were last year. They're not killing people by 60. They are still good. They are still probably going to go undefeated. They still deserve to be ranked in the top five. But I understand completely why they dropped, which brings us into – we can look at the rest of the top 25 rankings, because just stay glued to your TV this weekend. And if you have YouTube TV like myself, MultiView is going to be your friend, because there are a ton of college football games on Saturday that everybody should be checking out. They did not drop in the AP poll. They must have dropped in one of the other ones. No. What? Joel Klatt. It was Joel Klatt's rankings. I got them conflated. We still have Michigan, Georgia, Michigan, Texas, Ohio State as your top four. Then it goes Florida State, Penn State, Washington, Oregon, USC. The top nine, all undefeated. And Oregon moved up the most after winning this past weekend and getting ready to go to Washington. Afterwards, from there, it's where it gets a little bit interesting. Notre Dame, I know it was a close loss against Ohio State. They're ranked in front of a couple of undefeated teams. I don't think they should be. Oklahoma, Washington, UNC, Washington State, UNC. I could probably see an argument where they should be higher than Notre Dame, because now Notre Dame is not going to play anybody else worth anything.
I think they actually have a couple of good matchups coming out. I think they play USC. I do think that they have some matchups on their slate. I remember seeing that on the
timeline. It's in 2 weeks they'll play USC. They have Louisville this weekend, so they have two more games against
it's a very steep hill climb for Notre Dame to get back into the playoff picture. Absolutely, but like I said, I'm very, very happy when you tell me those rankings, Jimmy. I'm very, very happy. Obviously, yes, Ohio State, Michigan, Georgia are all there in the top four.
I think deserve a shout out too. Missouri's 23.
Missouri has been playing very, very good football too. It's been a while. So it's been very good. So. And like I said, this college football landscape, top to bottom, it really is – like, Joel Klatt is the best. It's really sad that the 12 teams not this year. Because I'm serious. At these top 12 teams, there could be an argument made for at least top 10.
When you have
– where's Alabama at? 11, 10, 11? Is Alabama at 10 or 11 or something like that? Like
Alabama is 11. So if it were to be 12 this year – does somebody get a buy in 12? Or
it's the first four.
Let's go first two. We'll just say first two would get a buy. So then you would have Texas at Oklahoma. So Texas hosting Oklahoma. Yeah, that could possibly be a third time that you see that matchup, because it's likely they're going to meet in the Big 12 championship. You would have Ohio State versus Alabama, hosting Alabama. Florida State hosting Notre Dame, which would be a damn good matchup. Penn State hosting Notre Dame.
Oh, no, you said Notre Dame twice.
No. Penn State hosting USC. USC hosting Oregon.
Okay. That way, there's not, like I said, the 12 team playoff. I really hope that college football stays this competitive next year. I really do. And look,
that's what my
thought was too. Like the take I had last week, like, I think the NIL really has just people are like, you know what? There's warm weather football on the West Coast. Holy fuck! I can stay at USC. I can go to Oregon. I don't have to go to Alabama to get a look at for the pros. Like it's crazy. It is crazy. And I
listen to all these different college stations too. they have alumni funds where people can call in and donate money specifically for NIL dollars to certain athletes. I've listened to two games on the USC radio network, and that's where I've heard it the most. So there might be something a little fishy there. I'm sure I'd hear it on the Alabama network, but that's something that we can do now. There is no regulation saying that the boosters can't somehow have an NIL fund. Like, you need money to get the best recruits nowadays. And I know that the diehards are going to clutch their pearls and, oh my stars, this isn't college sports. This isn't for the love of the game. This is too much like the pros. And here's what I'll say to you. If you want the highest level college football where athletes are willing to stay and you don't get the two years, the Johnny Manziels that just want to get to the NFL so they can start making their money and him and Ha, you get more college football. You get higher level college football. And you get the most competitive version of college football that we've ever seen.
Oh, absolutely. Ever. Absolutely. That you hit the nail on the head. The most competitive college football. It's no longer going to be Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. Like it's going to be Clemson of sorts. It's going to be the West Coast teams. It's going to be a lot more depth in college football in general where people are like, you know what? Like, yeah, I'm going to go – like Michael Penix Jr., think about it. The guy probably has NFL hopes. He definitely does. Going into Washington, not many people think about that, right? Going to that state – the farthest northwest part of the country, and he goes over there, and all of a sudden, yeah, he's the guy. He is that guy. He is better than anything we've seen. Look, he is the second best player in college football. I'll say it behind Caleb Williams right now. He has been that good top to bottom. And like I said, you don't see – that's not something you hear about with the Pac-12 and the Big 12 and the other non-Big 10 SEC schools. Like, there's big-time players coming from all these universities, and it's finally being brought to the daylight is all I'm going to say.
First off, as a geography teacher, I appreciate you getting that correct, because if my kids hear this, yes, Nico is correct. It's the farthest northwest part of the country. And I'm saying this part.
Technically not, because Alaska is,
well,
is
the farthest. Yeah, that's the farthest basically part, Russia. So, and it should be a part of Canada. But we'll save that. I'm saying this part as 100% in all earnesty. The NIL is as impactful to college football as the breaking the color barrier is. Because think about it. Back at the – no, it's not for anything. Take that out of it. Take all the divisiveness of today out of it. Think back to it at that point. Because Bama had Bear Bryant before college football was integrated. Yeah. And they were dominant. And they won championship after championship after championship. And Alabama refused to break their color barrier. And all of a sudden, these other schools did, and they started to win, and they started to make changes. And then Alabama adopted it, and they were able to go through that cycle again. We have schools like Clemson, Alabama, that refuse to break on this NIL dollars and all of this other money that we see. And all these other schools around them are doing that, and we are seeing a same kind of evolution. We're going to get the Alabamas and Clemsons. Dabo Sweeney, probably next year at Media Day, is going to come out and say, yep, nope, we have an NIL fund now. We got the donors hall hooked up, and instead of funneling that money into the facilities, we're going to funnel that money into the players, and we're going to try and put a competitive team back out there on the field. So I'm not saying that to bring light or anything like that. That's 100%. That's my comparison. That's what I think the NIL moving forward is going to do for college football. Because it elevated play at that point, it elevated play right now. All right, I think we're good on college football. Let's talk a little bit of pro football. I'm not going to say I told you so. I'm going to start here. I got a game back. Well, I didn't get a game back on you because the Falcons and Bengals decided not to play football this weekend. But I'm going to save that. I got a game back on you with your Broncos. So I'm just going to say fade the Broncos. I knew Bears weren't going to do it.
I'm still
Matt Eberflus is the worst coach of all time.
Jimmy, the Bears are maybe the worst organization in all of sports. I'm going to stand on that. Like I really do think they're that bad. They are that bad. I don't understand how that poor of a defense doesn't let up a fucking single point and after being up 28-7 or whatever the hell it was. I don't know. I sent the meme out of the Stone Cold meme of the ha ha ha, just the not happy face. Because, like I said, I want to be in the Caleb Williams sweepstakes. And at this point, like, look, Russ is playing well. Like, let's not beat around the bush. He's not the problem right now. Sean Payton, quote unquote, looks like he's fixed him. That's all I'm going to say. It looks like he's fixed him. But my God, the defensive side of the ball, letting up.
Vance Joseph.
I don't understand.
Fire him.
And then, look, they let go of Randy Gregory. They just straight up released him. They paid him five-year, $140 million. Him out. If you're going to tank, then tank. Like I said, I'm totally fine with – because, look, Randy Gregory didn't do shit. Has not done shit. Randy Gregory has not done shit since he stepped in a Broncos uniform. He's played 10 games, missed 11 games. He has a total of how many, Jimmy? 1, 2, 3 sacks in those 11 games in a two-year deal.
How about
deal.
You just light the pile of money on fire if you're just going to let everybody go that doesn't produce for nothing?
He has done absolutely nothing. And look, Vic Benito and Baron Browning deserve a shot, and Jonathan Cooper deserve a chance.
They're
and
not
look, if you're
going to do anything else,
I know they're not going to do anything, Jimmy. But this team is going to fucking lose. We're not. We don't have championship aspirations. That's the difference. We beat the worst team in football. Let's not forget where we are, Jimmy. I took a nap. I took a nap at the beginning of the game. I fell asleep before the game started. I woke up to the sweet sound of I forgot who was on the call. It might have been Tony. I don't know who was on the call. I woke up to the sweet sound of the Bears take a 21-7 lead into the second quarter. I was like, hold on, I'm sorry. What's the score? My brother's sitting right next to me. He's like, did that seriously just wake you up? I'm like, yeah, it did. 21-7. Yes, look, Jimmy, this team is not contending for anything. It really isn't. Russell Wilson's been fixed, but there's a lot of other things that need to be fixed for this team to be competitive. And that's why I'm still all over the Caleb Williams bandwagon / Drake May / whoever the fuck that wants to come play in the orange and blue, okay? And we'll see what this team looks like, see if this game turns around, a good fortune of it. Because, look, you play the Jets this week, which – the Jets look good. They look better than what they did the last couple weeks this weekend. They looked a lot better than what they did. So who knows what you get of them. Then you go. Then you play the Kansas City Chiefs, who you still haven't beaten since Peyton Manning was wearing orange and blue. Okay? So things aren't looking up. And you're 1-3, okay? And look, you're in this boat too, Jimmy. 1-3 is a shitty spot to be in when you look across the AFC, especially.
We're not in the same boat. We have
We're not in the same boat that way, but right now you and I are both sitting here as a 1-3 podcast. It is not fun. Whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not, it's not fun right now. It is not fun for either of us. We thought we'd have a lot of Victory Mondays this year. I don't think we're going to have one, especially for my end.
No, we haven't had one because the one game the Bengals won, the Broncos lost. The one game the Broncos won, the Bengals forgot how to play football. And there's no other way to explain what I witnessed and what I put my faith into. And I'm going to lump the two of them together. Because I was just as disappointed in the way both games turned out. We can move off the Broncos. We get it. It sucks that they won.
I wanted to lose. At 28-7, I wanted to lose that football game. I really did. I really wanted that statement to stay like that and it to get bad. But all
it's hilarious because there's a ton of guys on the other side of things in Chicago being saying this thing. You know what? I'm glad that we ended up losing in the long run because now we have the number one and the number two pick, and we proved that. You know,
we can draft Caleb Williams and Drake May, and they could both sit behind Justin Fields for another couple of years until they figure it out. And boom, we're back, and the Bears are back.
Let's say we bring Ditka back. We have Caleb Williams and Justin Fields lined up at running back, so you never know who's going to get the snap and throw the football. And then we're just going to go with that. How about that? No, that doesn't sound good. That doesn't sound good at all.
The Bears are the worst organization in all of sports. I will stand on that. I will stand on a chair and say that. It's that bad. And like I said, if we would have lost that game, it would have just been all out, just fucking pitchforks and tirades. But instead, this team made a miraculous comeback. And all of a sudden, for whatever reason, it has a glimmer of hope, which I fucking hate. So, like I said, it's the whole thing, like, son of a bitch, I'm back in. Like, you motherfucker, you killed me. And then you said, nope, we're still here. I'm like, oh, fuck. God damn it. I'm going to put my Broncos hat on, wear it, put it on, wear it with pride. Fuck.
I'm wearing it, but I'm not happy about it.
Damn it.
What I felt, that's how I felt in my Bengals hoodie on Sunday. The Bengals and the Falcons were disappointing. Because the Falcons,
yeah, Bengals a little bit more. The Falcons, Desmond Ridder may be the worst quarterback in football right now.
But there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to win that game. Jacksonville is going to get put into the playoffs because they have a weak ass schedule. They're not put into the playoffs because they're a playoff team right now. I don't know what people must be getting the bath salts from Jacksonville, and that's what they're watching because this team ain't good. But they just have the worst teams that they're playing. And they got beat by a pretty bad team. I still don't classify Houston as a good team. And
the 3-1 Houston,
CJ Stroud has to go 6-1 for me to give him credit.
Looks a lot better than Bryce Young is all I'm gonna say so far. And Will Anderson looks like he's going to be a problem for a lot of years to come. All of a sudden, Houston Texans have life. So that's all I'll say. There's a lot. There's hope. Houston. That's all I'm gonna say.
I just don't.
Jacksonville, I don't see it with them.
They get the back to back London games, but I was disappointed in the way that the Falcons looked. I thought I was gonna be able to get that game back, and then obviously my Bengals. I'm looking at it here. Ask me how many rushing yards the Tennessee Titans had.
Oh, I don't know. I know. I saw a bunch of highlights.
173.
Only 170?
Damn. Ask me how many passing yards the Bengals had with Joe Burrow, Tyler Boyd, Jamar Chase,
130,
T. Higgins, 100. 139. No touchdowns. None.
Things are bad. Things are very, very bad. And unless things can change very quickly, things are going to turn worse. Because
We should be done. Put McCarron, put Browning at quarterback, let Joe rehab. I know, but it here's the thing. It looks like shit now. It looks terrible. The offensive line can't block a soul. Teams are rushing six. Joe Burrow can't get any pass off, and he can't move.
You can't get it.
What's been saving him is his mobility in the pocket, and he has none of that right now. So let him sit. Maybe he'd be able to come back and show us what he can do at the end of the season. But I think that's what you're looking at right now. You're probably a 7-win team at best.
This offensive line that you paid a lot of money into has gotten worse. That's the unfortunate part. It seems as though it's gotten worse than last year.
It's unfair to say that they have to be perfect, which is what they have to be right now, but Burrow can't bail them out. So, yes, they have to be perfect. And Tennessee has really good pass rushers, and Vrabel came up with a great pass rush scheme. The fact that your defense, who played so well for you the week before, if we're going to get up and down and roller coaster rides all season, mm-hmm. I know why the coordinators are still there. I know why Anarumo doesn't have a head coaching job, because it was consistent.
Very, very inconsistent.
But now when your quarterback can't cover all your blemishes and you got to actually play and back him up, you don't know what to do.
You don't have God.
That's what this team is.
You have right now what we call Ryan Tannehill because Joe Burrow is that badly injured. And look, I'm not comparing Joe Burrow to Ryan Tannehill because Joe Burrow on his better day, Ryan Tannehill can't stiff his jock. But I'm saying that's what you're getting right now. You're getting a non-mobile quarterback, and you're begging your receivers to get open. And right now, Jamar Chase is complaining in the post-game crowd finals. Oh, I'm open. I don't know if you saw that. You definitely probably saw that. You're open. Sick.
You're open in the goddamn Super Bowl too, dumbass.
What did that do for us? This team has to figure it out. And look, I don't hate what you said. If you lose another week again this week, I don't know who you're playing. You can probably tell me a lot better than I do. But I don't know who you're playing the next game. I don't know who the next couple weeks are, but if you lose two of them, it's time to sit Joe Burrow.
I'll tell you exactly why I want them to sit Burrow this week, because they're going to Arizona to play the Cardinals.
Oh, God, yeah. And you could win with Jake Browning. You seriously could.
Going to look to kill Joe Burrow.
And look, I'm serious when I say this. You lose to the Cardinals, the season's done. You can come join. You can kill my season right now.
I have zero expectations for them.
There's still hope. There's still hope. In my opinion, there's still hope.
I can't hope because my hope puts them. If my hope was for them to play as well as their talent level should show, and they have not done that at any point this season. In the game that we won, we scored one touchdown. Our offense has been abysmal, and we just invested $200 million into it, and we're getting nothing.
All I'm going to say is there's another team that's invested a lot of $200 million in a quarterback that's a lot worse off than you are. But I am going to say is that contract with Joe Burrow, it was nice having him on a rookie contract, right? It was very, very nice with the talent that you had around him because of that. It was very, very generous. All of a sudden, it's going to start deteriorating. And you're going to see what – I don't know the general manager of your team's name is, but you're going to start seeing what the drafting abilities of your team is because
– It's not even at that level. We're just bad because of the injury right now too. Once we get bad because we have to start losing our good players, but I don't know who our good player is right now because T. Higgins sucks eggs this season, can't catch a cold. Tyler Boyd's been invisible, can't get open. There are way too many problems to point individual fingers. It's like that stupid trend that's going around TikTok right now. We got to stick together. We can't go blaming anybody. You're a problem. You're a real problem. Everybody is a problem right now. Everybody sucks. We should get relegated back to the NCAA because we might have a shot to win 7 if we go back to the NCAA.
You're not the Chicago Bears, is all I'm going to say. You're not the Denver Broncos fan, okay?
I feel like I am.
I will tell you right now, if our two teams played, I think the Broncos will cover the spread. Is all I'm going to say. That should
hurt my feelings a lot more than it does right now.
That's all I'm going to say. I think we'd still lose, but I think
AJ McCarron gets his revenge. Actually, AJ McCarron would get his revenge from that game that he broke my heart. Him and DeMarcus Ware in one instant broke my heart together. I was there live watching that game. I was like, oh. No. All right. Recap from last week.
The thing is, it's only week four. It's only week five. There's 17 weeks. A lot of football left.
We're running out of time to say that you're bad and you can still turn it around.
Yeah.
Because if you go 1-4, you're not making the playoffs in a 17-week season. Recap from last week going into the things. Nico was 13-6. I was 9-7. I ended up going 4-2. So not a bad week. Nico went 5-1. The game that we both lost was the Bengals. I lost the Broncos.
I went 4-2. You... I lost the Broncos too.
Oh.
Because I picked against them. And I'm you going to do the... I'm going to continue.
You went 4-2.
Against...
I went 3-3. That's what I was gonna say.
Because I picked against
them. Okay, so I am 12-10. You are 17-8. Okay. You're 17-8. I am 12-10.
Okay, not bad.
This is why we need to check the social studies teacher's math. That's good.
That's why Jimmy doesn't teach math.
I was proud of Nico for having the right directions. No, my brother teaches math. He's upstairs. He's working on his master's because he's a nerd.
He's a big nerd.
Week 5 of the pick'em. Obviously, Nico still has that little bit of a lead.
What a disgusting Thursday night football game.
It fits in a Thursday night game. But here's the worst thing. They should just start giving Al Michaels liquor in the booth because he's already phoned it in enough. I hate listening to him on Thursdays. If he was drunk, maybe he'd say something that's kind of entertaining. But this game is not going to be entertaining. I think that the Commanders, as bad as it is losing 2 games in a row, took the Eagles to overtime. And you still have that comeback victory. It's frisky, and you're playing against a JV team. So go out there and smoke the JV team in the only primetime game that we're going to be watching you in. Cover that 6-point number, and let's get out of here. We don't need to do too much. Get in, get the win, kick the Bears in the ass on the way out. They want the first and second overall pick.
Yeah, give me the Commanders. I'm going to pick the Commanders too. The Bears are, like I said, it's the worst organization in football. It's not even close. The Commanders were that, and then they sold the team, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, the team looks like a brand new organization.
Haven't said anything about that defensive coordinator? They still.
I totally forgot about that. It is very interesting. I think they. I think he's been let go, but that's about everything.
No, I know that he's been let go, but they. If he, I don't think he's been let. He never got let go. He just resigned. So they allowed him to resign. But when you resign normally, and if you're resigning for health reasons, like every time Urban Meyer resigned for his quote health reasons, the school that he resigned from said, oh, we hope that he's able to figure it out and go on and live a healthy life. Nobody said that about this guy.
No.
So I don't know what he did. I believe that I'm not going to speculate, but from what I've heard, it ain't good. It is not good at all. But that's just curious to me. What did the Bears have going on? What is going on in Chicago? Because you got the Blackhawks shit that is finally somewhat being resolved, and they're going to start being pushed as the golden child of the NHL again with Bedard.
Their only hope, the city of Chicago's only hope, is on number 98.
Didn't their facility get raided by the FBI?
Yeah, no.
I remember hearing that.
The Bears stadium got about a couple $100,000 worth of shit stolen. I'm pretty sure from Soldier Field. I remember seeing that. So yeah, it's not just raided. They got stuff stolen from their stadium. And like I said, it's the worst organization in sports, Jimmy. I'm not even putting that lightly. There's a reason why the Broncos were able to get their sole win this season against them because they're that bad. That's so awkward.
Makes me want to vomit.
I'm not here going to sit here and toot the horn of the Commanders, but you look at that division, right? The Eagles are obviously very, very good. The Cowboys, decent, but they lost to the Cardinals, and the Giants are dead. So could be something. Sam Howell looks very, very, very reasonable and could be very, very good. We'll see.
Yeah. Next game that we're going to talk about, second international game for the Jaguars in their bid to become the first NFL team in a – European city for in the actual NFL. They want to be in London as badly as anybody. They just want to be there. They're going to be underdogs technically on the road, but both teams are traveling. The Jaguars, I think, get to stay. Bills are favored by 5.5. This one scares me with Josh Allen and this Jaguars team because they're going to hear all about it. Like I think that they've started to hear it in Jacksonville where, okay, you beat some bad teams. You have a very favorable schedule, but you're not going to put yourself in the playoffs. You're going to be put into the playoffs. There is a difference. I know that I said the same thing, but there's a difference. People that know. And I think this is going to be where the Jaguars may play a little bit tough and the Bills, it's weird. Josh Allen sometimes just freezes. Like his Xbox controller disconnects at certain points, and that's not good. And you were able to get Stephon Diggs involved. But Jacksonville is now going to have a response for that.
I may have watched a totally different game, but I think Josh Allen is fucking God mode right now. I think last week what he did to the Dolphins team that handled
talk the about Broncos, an inconsistent like, roller coaster. That's why he was never a higher level quarterback than Wyoming.
He absolutely torched the Dolphins. Absolutely torched. The Dolphins had no answer defensively, no answer offensively. And look, I sit here and are the Jaguars' defense that much better? I don't think so. I'm riding the Bills here. I'm going to because I think Josh Allen's that good. And look, Stephon Diggs is obviously figuring out whatever offseason problems they were having. The defense is where things get interesting. Von Miller could be back this week for them. Everything's pointing to that possibility. So that'd be huge for the defense, especially getting to Trevor Lawrence. You probably get back Jordan Poyer, who obviously missed last week, and DeMar Hamlin stepped back in. So they're getting guys back slowly. And look, they dominate arguably the team that was the hottest team in the NFL, right? Obviously, look, you put up 70 points a game. You can say it's the hottest offensive team in the NFL. You hold them to 20 points. That's a 50-point difference. Yes, the Broncos are that bad, but that's a big deal in my opinion. So I think this Bills team, I'm not going to say that they're ready, that they're ready for this long run, but I am going to say Josh Allen is playing like an MVP caliber player right now. And right now, if it wasn't for the best player in football right now, and that hails from the state of Colorado, that plays for a red and gold team, I think he'd be the MVP. But right now, Josh Allen is doing a lot of wonderful, crazy things. So give me the Bills.
That's fine. You can take the Bills. We'll be opposite on these international games. I have a feeling, and I don't know if it's going to work out. Sometimes it doesn't, but I have heard you trust your gut a lot. In my gut, it tells me Buffalo is going to do something to fuck this up, and Jacksonville is going to sneak a win. Jacksonville, they play well in London. Weird things happen.
They play really well in AD's room, obviously, when you're facing Desmond Ritter. Is all I'm gonna, I will say before we move
you
on.
You can't tell me that Trevor Lawrence has no shot of beating Josh Allen.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. I just think right now Josh Allen is at a point right now where he's playing much more consistent football than Trevor Lawrence is.
My PS3 controller, when I'm playing NCAA, every now and then does it where I'm breaking a stretch run and all of a sudden L1 trigger gets pressed and just throws the ball back 15 yards. That's what I feel one of those coming. I don't know why. Maybe I'm going to be totally wrong, but that's what I feel in my gut, and I'm going to go with my gut because I'm an offensive lineman. My gut has gotten me in a lot of places. All right, moving forward, we've mentioned this one already, the Bengals at the Cardinals going to Arizona.
-3. Yeah. That is wild. That is absolutely insane to be looking at against a team that should be tanking right now. That is insane to me. I'm sorry, but that's crazy. You should not have put that line up. I would have not known that. I would have guessed the line would have been at like 4.5, 5.5, possibly 6.5. 3? Oof.
Well, I think they're going to cover.
Here's what I'm going to tell you.
As a Bengals fan, with all of my experience as the years of being a Bengals fan, with the way that this season has started, with the expectations that I had, the way this game is going to go, is this is the game where the offense is going to click. The offensive line is actually going to block somebody. Burrow's not going to have to move. He's going to find his receivers. They're going to score 35 points. And the defense is going to be able to kill Josh Dobbs, and they're not going to score. We're going to look at this game and go, wow, maybe the Bengals have figured it out. And people are going to blatantly ignore the fact that the Cardinals are one of the least talented rosters in football. They are here on pure, sheer will right now. Yeah. They've won that game based on the fact that they wanted to more.
And look,
the Bengals
could,
want this
could.
Game.
They could be 500 right now. Let's not forget. They had a 30-point lead against the Giants.
They could humble that.
Let's not forget. They beat the Cowboys pretty good, and they almost beat the Giants pretty good as well. So they could be a 500 football team, but instead they're sitting here at 1-3.
I'm still thinking because the Bengals know they cannot go to 1-4. If they go to 1-4, it's DEFCON 0, and you're starting to look at maybe Boyd and Higgins are both gone. And you have
I'd highly consider trading them, Jimmy. I'd highly consider trading them and seeing if you can get draft picks for them so you don't sit here and have them both walk for nothing. Because you sit Joe Burrow and you trade those guys away if you lose this week, especially if it's the Cardinals. Like I said, Tennessee is a good football team. They're very, very frisky every single week because Vrabel has those boys ready to play. But the Cardinals, there's no room for you to lose this football game. You lose this football game, it's over. It's absolutely over. So give me the Bengals in a must – crazy to say this – must-win scenario.
Yeah, no, as I was saying it, I picked the Bengals too. The fact that you have to win and the fact that the Cardinals win whether they win or not now, just as long as they play competitively against these teams, you're in a totally different spot. If it doesn't go well, it's. I'm no longer considering. I will never talk about preseason expectations again if this does not go well this weekend. Jets at the Broncos. Game we've been waiting for since, quote, last year was the worst coaching job in the NFL history, end quote. Proceeds to get beat by 50 points and gives up 70 points for the first time since 1967. Oh yeah, sorry.
It's so funny how this game has lost every single little ounce of juice it had. Now it just
was at one point be like, damn, I wish we could flex. We can't flex until week 13. Are we sure we can't flex the Jets and the Broncos?
Thank God we cannot flex the Jets and the Broncos. Oh, thank God we have 49ers and Cowboys at Sunday Night Football, not this shit show. It's the nothing. Daniel Hackett Bowl. That's the only ounce of juice we have this game has.
Have you shaved his goatee yet? I didn't look this.
I don't know. I haven't looked at him. I don't know. And look, I will say the Jets played much better football on Sunday. They had a chance to win that football game. And Zach Wilson, it looks like he's finally able to do stuff and not play a little freelance.
He looked like a quarterback. I mean, he still pumped the game away in the most pivotal point, but he looked like a quarterback.
He looks like a guy that could start some football games in the NFL. And look, Jimmy, I'm a man of moral. I'm a man who sticks to his word, and I'm picking the Jets. I said that I want the Broncos to lose every game, and I am going to stand on that moral, Jimmy. If it takes Nathaniel Hackett waiting until the last second to get the play call in every single play to beat us at home, then so be it. To get Vance Joseph fired, then so be it. Then so be it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Nathaniel Hackett walks into Mile High Stadium with that offense with Zach Wilson, Garrett Wilson, and Breece Hall and puts up 30 points. Vance Joseph better start packing your bags, because I think that's the nail in the coffin. I really think that there's a chance that could be it, and it has to be it. It has to be it. Like, it has to. And look, this is a guy on this show that has had nothing but bad things to say about the Jets. I think we've played them.
How bad does 3 years, hurt you right now?
3 years, 4 years in a row.
We missed our 4-year anniversary, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know, but however long it's been, I've picked against the Jets nearly every single week. Am I wrong?
Yeah. No, I wish that when we get a fan that's really into statistics, we can go back. But I am almost 100% positive the people who have picked the Jets on this show have been Pilatos. Me, yes, my brother, nobody else. Not even a guest that we bring on. You're like, nope, never even in a million years considered.
I don't even think I picked the Jets on Monday Night Football when Aaron Rodgers was playing. I don't think I did. I think I picked
you
whoever.
Didn't. No, you didn't.
Yeah, I was going to say I picked against them too to lose.
You were trying to make a point, and then the point was just made automatically. Yeah. You're like, oh, okay, cool. I win.
Yeah. Look, the Broncos have a chance here to get a win under the belt. They absolutely do, right? Like you have a chance to get to 2-3 where all of a sudden there's little bit of life. There's not much life, but there's a little bit of life. And look, like I said, Russell Wilson has not been the problem. He has not been the problem. If this defense can somehow figure out how to get pressure to Zach Wilson and this horrendous offensive line for the Jets, that's not good either. New York does not – New York and Cincinnati, both New York teams and Cincinnati Bengals do not know how to keep people from tracking their quarterback down. I'll tell you what. So let's hope that Nick Bonino, Baron Browning, and Jonathan Cooper can get to the quarterback and that Patrick Surtain can somehow slow down Garrett Wilson. But like I said,
Sertan's in for a long day. Actually,
Sertan
has not looked good this season.
He has not looked good, but like I said, it takes two it takes a guy to throw the ball to him to
well, it also takes a coach playing a good scheme. So I'm not going to put it 100% on him, but Sertan has not been up to the level that people were expecting.
Here's
what I'm going to say: this Jets pass rush is going to murder Russell Wilson, because the Broncos, as bad as you said the Jets offensive line is, so is the Broncos.
Oh, I know it's very bad, Jimmy.
And the Jets defensive line is better than Bonito. And
yeah, it is. I know it is. I know it is. It's just defensive top five defense in the league. I'm not denying that. I picked the Jets. Stop yelling.
Yeah, I know. You talked me into the Jets too.
I know what I'm doing. I'm picking the Jets. Don't yell at me.
I'm making sure that we have
there's a conversation on a radio show on No Free Shoutouts that came up. If the Broncos are a top five pick in the NFL draft, right? Top five pick. Russell Wilson has a bad end to the year, right? You're a top five pick, and the Bears have the first and second overall pick. Do you trade Patrick Surtain and your number five overall pick and possibly another second or whatever the fuck you have left to get to number two to have Drake May on your team?
No.
No, if it's Caleb Williams, would you?
If it's Caleb Williams, if you can ensure Caleb Williams, maybe.
I think going Caleb to have Williams, to, yes. Drake May, no.
That's, you're that, also that, going I, to I'm have to. On that. You're going to have to be okay with sucking after you draft Caleb Williams, because Jimmy, at that point,
Jimmy, I want to tank. I want
to
tank.
But I mean, after he's drafted, to struggle because he's. That is the one thing that you have to say about Caleb Williams, is that he's always had the best receivers available to him. He's always been on a team, except for the times that he's played Utah, which, oh yeah, beat them twice last year in the regular season and the Pac-12 championship.
But like I said, with the trends of how everything is going this year, right? Like, if you're a top five pick, Patrick Surtain has not played very well. If that's a big if. Big, massive, capital letter IF. If you're able to find your quarterback for the next 15 years and to move up three spots to make sure you get him, / four spots, whatever it may be, you do it. I'm sorry. You do it. Like Surtain's very, very good. He's going to be a good corner for a lot of years. He's going to be very, very good. But corner is a position where you can figure it out down the road. You can
figure it out. You got a couple really good corners up at Boulder that are going to be available at some point, too. Shiloh, Travis Hunter.
I don't know about Shiloh's projection in the NFL, but Travis Hunter will be a top five pick when he comes out. Absolutely. And look, there's opportunities to replace Patrick Surtain. I don't know if you have a swing at Caleb Williams at number one pick that you'd hesitate to throw Patrick Surtain in there. Because I remember this conversation, Jimmy. I think the conversation was either Bradley Chubb or Von Miller were trading like to the number one pick or top two pick. I remember it was 4 or 5 years ago, whenever it was, when I think Herbert was coming out or somebody was coming out. I forgot who it was. And there everyone was like, no, you can't do that. Pass rushers this, pass rushers that. Boy, if you had a Herbert, if you had a – I'm not going to say Tua, but if you had a Burrow Lawrence of sorts, like you'd be in a lot better position right now is all I'm going to say. So if that comes up as a possibility, I would consider it is all I'm going to say. Drake May, I'm not sold on that yet. Caleb Williams, sign me up.
I am a little upset that we don't get to see Aaron Rodgers and what he was going to, what his celebration would have been when he scored on the Broncos. Other than that, it's an ugly game. I think it's going to be really ugly because as bad as the, unless Zach Wilson plays up to that same level, then I think the Jets can kind of push this and make it ugly. But I am interested to see how things go. We're both on the Jets and I picked them because of their defensive line and specifically just Quinnen and Quincy Williams. I love the fact that it's two brothers playing together, and Quincy Williams hits. C.J. Mosley hits. And Quinnen Williams is, now that he got the braces off too, he's a handsome big guy. That's your handsome stud there. He has a Clydesdale horse that you gotta give him love when you can. Sunday Night Football. We're missing out on Brian on Talking the Gridiron because of this game, because he's too big of a coward. Now, unlike myself, who has been on Talking the Gridiron while watching your team struggle and lose because Justin Tucker can make any field goal in clutch performances last season. So I've been on the show and had to be the co-host while my team was losing. Brian's not man enough to do that. And I hope that he hears this because I love stirring the pot. I love starting a little beef. I'm a fan of the WWE. I can drop a heated promo when I need to. This is not going to be as much of a test for the 49ers as people are anticipating. If this was the 49ers going to Dallas and the same situation otherwise, if you just flip the location, then I think we see the 49ers having some trouble. 4 points, as much as it may not seem like it, 4 points coming from Vegas is a pretty big spread for this game. Because if you look at it talent for talent-wise, the Cowboys should be about even money with the 49ers. Yet, Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk,
I think the talent-wise, the 49ers still have the edge, Jimmy. I think
outside. No, that's what I'm saying.
I would not put them on even strength at all. And look, I said it the couple segments ago when I talked about the Bills. Christian McCaffrey is the most valuable player in football. Like it is like what you are seeing out of McCaffrey is something we need that needs to be talked about for a very, very long time. Kyle Shanahan saw what his dad did with Terrell Davis and saw what his dad did with Rod Smith and company and said, let me just turn Christian McCaffrey.
Copy and paste
2.0. Like McCaffrey, look, he broke the record of 13 straight games of a touchdown, scoring a touchdown, record held by Jerry Rice. 13 straight games scoring a touchdown.
Yeah. Who was second on that list?
Jerry Rice. I don't know
who was second. Before him. Dwight Clark, the guy who had the catch.
McCaffrey is all that in a box of cookies. He is the man, the myth, the legend. You cannot sit here and tell me that Brock Purdy would have the confidence he has without Christian McCaffrey. You cannot sit here and tell me that the offense would look as good without Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey is everything to this team. And the 49ers, I'm going to say it, like they don't come out of the NFC. I think it's an absolute waste of what you're seeing out of Run CMC. This trade that you had and only giving up a couple firsts for McCaffrey to the Panthers may have been the best trade of your franchise's history. I think that highly of what Christian's doing. Yeah, he's a Colorado guy. Yeah, I'm a little biased because I like the 49ers, and I like to think the 49ers are my Eastern or NFC team because all the Colorado ties team on the team. But, I just think that highly of what this team's doing. Like, this offensive line is still dominating. Their running game is dominating. Brock Purdy is not making stupid plays. He is just putting the team in a position to win football games. You still have a defense with one of the best pass rushers in football, and Nick Bosa, former defense player of the year. And you also have one of the best linebackers in football in Kwon Alexander. This defense is just unreal. Unreal. 49ers take this and cover easily. Cowboys have shown me too many bad things all across the last four games to make me believe in them at all. And the 49ers, I'm the biggest 49er believer there is right now. I really do. And maybe that's because I love McCaffrey and because I love Kittle and of course I love Kyle Juicy Juice. But this team has all of that. And I said there's only one thing that seems missing. It's a quarterback. Plain and simple. Like, can you find another hole? Like I said, Brock Purdy is the biggest question mark this team has. Because can Brock Purdy, A, stay healthy enough for them to make that run? Because he didn't last year. He wasn't healthy enough to get them to – because like I said, they got to the NFC Championship where they had Josh fucking Johnson at quarterback to hopefully win them a playoff football game against the Eagles. If Brock Purdy could stay healthy and not, maybe Sam Darnold steps in and does the same thing, but who knows? If Brock Purdy could stay healthy and this team just continues to do what it does, they should be on a tear to be in Vegas for the Super Bowl this upcoming spring.
Second best offensive line in football behind the Philadelphia Eagles, but they keep Brock Purdy pretty well protected. It was a freak play that he got hurt.
His jersey is so clean every single week. It is. Well, I mean, the only reason why Jalen Hurst's jersey is not clean is because of the damn tush push. But Brock Purdy's jersey is untouched every single week.
And yeah, and we're not seeing Brock Purdy run quarterback counter or anything like that. But Trent Williams has to. He's so good at football. As an offensive lineman, I watch him and I go, oh my God, he's making it harder on himself. Like, he's oversetting on purpose so that he has to do something like, oh, it's so boring. I just beat everybody on every single play. Nope, no spin move inside.
Let me get myself a little excitement here. Make things a little interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to get off the ball about a half a second late just so that you have a chance. And you still don't even have a chance because guess what? I'm Trent Williams and at 360 pounds, I get 360 women dunk. That's – you got to be 360 to be able to 360 women dunk in my book. I was like, oh, okay. We don't have to talk too much about Monday Night Football. We both have the 49ers in Sunday Night Football. I believe we both will have the Packers in Monday Night Football because you never pick the Raiders. And as much as I think I could – this would be a game where I should pick opposite and try and get one back, I remember who's on the sidelines. And I go, better not. Really, Pittsburgh really fans. Sometimes I think I should do crystal meth, but better not.
In the sidelines or in the owner's booth with that ugly ass haircut and and your fans yelling at you, it's funny. It's funny when it's your own guy. It's not your own team, right? But when it's your own fans yelling at you to fucking fix it and to not keep Jimmy Garoppolo out there. Look, this team is wasting a lot of talent. Plain and simple. You have the Chandler Jones incident. Obviously, hopefully he's been able to figure everything out. But you have Max Crosby, who's one of the top five pass rusher in football, being wasted because there's no one on the other side of him. You have Josh Jacobs, who was the leading rusher in the NFL last year, who's just done nothing. You have Davante Adams, who is a top five receiver in the NFL when he has a good quarterback with him. This team has talent across the board. And you try to instill the Patriot way into Las Vegas, Nevada, bite me. Bite me. This is, like I said, you try to instill a Patriot way into fucking Vegas, and this is the outcome you're going to get, okay? Plain and simple. So, yeah, look, give me – I still hate that they beat us week one, and that's just because our team is it's as bad as it gets. But we're the one win on their damn schedule, so be it. So, yeah, give me the Packers. The Packers – Jordan Love has made some frisky games, made some games out of nothing. And like I said, I forgot who they played last week, but I remember them making a close game and being like, oh, the Packers are interesting. They're very frisky. Like I said, they're a good coach team. LaFleur knows how to win games. Jordan Love just may not have it all. So we'll see.
Just to recap, the game that we all should be paying attention to early Sunday morning, Jaguars at Bills. Only one that Nico and I don't agree on this week. I have the Jaguars. Nico has the Bills. Otherwise, we picked the Commanders, Bengals, Jets, 49ers, and Packers to come out on top. So it's going to go one way or the other. Nico's going to get a game again, or I'm going to get one back. Either way, be sure to tune in next week where we'll talk about everything. Be sure to tune in this weekend. And like I said at the beginning of the video, if you drop in your picks for this week's Pick'em on the comments of the video, or if you tweet at us, anything like that. If you go a better record than the two of us, maybe you go undefeated and neither of us go undefeated, we'll send you, we'll get in contact somehow, be able to send you some merchandise. We also still do have the merch store, bonfire.com/variety-sports-network, where you can get all FEO to be pod merch. It's where you see the hat that I normally wear, it came from, and everything like that. So there's plenty of stuff to be keeping in contact with. And
before we close out the show, I do have a couple things I do just want to touch the brief on. One, the Ryder Cup was this past weekend. I did watch it. I did stay up early, watched it. USA got demolished and made things interesting. Hatgate was a real thing. It was very interesting. Like I said, for those that watched it, kept up with it, I had a few tweets here and there about it. So I enjoyed it. The Ryder Cup is one of those events every year that's – or every 2 years. It's very, very exciting to watch. So I enjoyed it. Obviously, U.S. would have loved a better performance, but the Ron Bino and the Europeans, Rory McIlroy, just something different. The other thing is, look, I know we don't talk about baseball on the show. I know we don't. But the MLB postseason is going on. So the postseason is going on. I know the Phillies won. I know the Diamondbacks won. I know the Twins won. Twins' first playoff series win since 2003, I think, or 2004, whenever it was. So that's big for them. And I think there's one other. I can't – the Rangers were the other one. The Rangers won as well. So the four wild card series have already ended. All four were sweeps. So that's interesting. I think there could – like I said, baseball – we don't pay attention. Neither of us do. I might a little bit when it comes to the rest of the playoffs. Who knows? Like I said, I won some money. I bet Philly's money line and Bryce Harper / Trey Turner to get a hit last two games, and I won money on it. So, like I said, baseball's kind of fun to bet on and exciting when it comes to postseason. Regular season, not so much. And then the other thing I want to touch on real quick, look, we talk about domestic violence. We talk about things that happen, and look, I think it's very, very important to bring it up when things get falsely accused. And the Trevor Bauer, Trevor Bauer is in all cases an asshole. I'm zero denying about that. The guy is not everyone's cup of tea, okay? But the man is wrongly convicted of domestic assault. The news came out that the cases were dropped and that the woman faked lies to try to get money out of him. She had texts saying that he, my next victim, Dodgers pitcher. Trevor Bauer was the guy. Pictures of her sitting next to Trevor Bauer the day after he supposedly hit her, just enjoying a selfie while he's sleeping right next to him. Look, I'm not going to sit here and say Trevor Bauer is a nice guy. I'm not, but I think it's important to say that as many domestic violence abusers as there is, there's also people that fucking can ruin your lives, especially as a professional athlete. I've not been a part of, but I've seen experiences where I've been around them, unfortunately, where people were wrongfully accused of things, and I think it's important to bring that up. So, like I said, I hope to see him get another chance at MLB. Like I said, he's a hothead. He's a character.
He may not want to play in the MLB. He may be fine just playing out in Japan. We're being 100% with ourselves.
He may be completely fine, but like I said, I think it was important to bring that up as well. Because like I said, as men, especially you and myself, and you know what, as a brother and having a sister as well, it's important for our mental health as well to make sure to take care of ourselves and do what's right for us too. Obviously, it's very important for the women of our lives to take care of them, make sure things are right, but it's also for ourselves to look after one another. So I think it's important to bring that up. So I'm happy Trevor Bauer was able, like I said, we said some things about him. I think it was 2 years ago, whenever it was, when all this came out, because it was bad. It was very, very bad, everything that was coming out. And obviously,
she did a good job. She knew how to start that campaign. She got the ball going in a certain direction and people ran with it, and it was really easy to run with it because it was Trevor Bauer. So yeah,
that's very true. So I'm glad, like I said, I'm glad to see he's rebuilt his image. And look, it's not a great rebuilt image because the guy's still a little bit of a prick, but it's a rebuilt image of not a non-domestic violence person, so abuser. So that's great to hear. So I'm very, very happy for him that he was able to figure that out and that the truth came to light is all I'm gonna say.
I agree. I look at you bringing baseball news to the show. I didn't even know
anything. Baseball has been coming and going off my timeline. So I saw a Trevor Bauer video popped up. I've been watching baseball during the day. I have nothing else to do. So I threw a couple bucks here and there on some baseball games. So maybe I'll pay attention. The Rockies lost 100 games. We had a friend of mine who bet the under on or bet the over on 64 and a half games of the Rockies winning, and he lost that bet. And every loss underneath that was the amount of hot dogs he had to eat at the last Rockies game. Obviously, he lost, and he won. He ate like 20 hot dogs to game 162. So, very interesting. But the Rockies are dead. Baseball could be. Like I said, baseball is a little exciting in the winter and during the fall. It's the best time of the year, Jimmy. Basketball, hockey, football, baseball, college football, college basketball right around the corner. I mean, everything's
going hockey on and right college now. Football baseball. Season. That's all I care about right now because the NFL can suck and go and die because everything sucks about that. But yes, everything else that you said, I agree with. Be sure to follow at FEOTB Pod. I did post another one of our social media videos right before we came on and started recording this. Be sure to follow TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Check us out on Variety Sports Network if you haven't already. Listen wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow, 5-star rating and a review. Leave your picks in the comments. Leave your picks in the reviews. We'll look through both places. And be sure to catch Top of the Mountain coming up this Friday. No Sunday Scaries this week, but I will be on Talking the Gridiron. Then Sunday Scaries will be back next week. I announced this past weekend that it's going to be an every other week show because four shows in a weekend is a little bit much for me.
That's a lot.
That was a little bit too much. The Nuggets are still world champions. Since this is the NBA show, the NBA media show, we have to obligatorily tell you that they are still your world champions. Thank you, everybody, very much for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe, follow episode 154, Far End of the Bench, for myself, Jimmy Plato, my co-host, Nico Bryant. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. We will see you next week.
Peace.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.